Saturday morning. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Duesenberger. Morning, Beth.
Good morning.
You were so excited you were jumping in.
Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you.
I mean, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. You're just waking up over there on the Pacific side of our country. Who knows what time it is around the world right now?
They're probably driving up and down the Pacific coastline looking at the sunrise.
On their way on a road trip.
I sounded like you there a little bit.
I know. It's so exciting. Happy Saturday. It's a day full of possibilities. For many, many of you, you have the day off of work. You're starting with a conversation with us, and we will not disappoint you. We have some great guests on today.
Great guests today, again, I mean, and timely.
I mean, this one is
timely. It's almost like we planned this.
I'm saying to you, friend, our first guest is going to be talking about particularly what happens when your late teenage, early adult starts to make decisions that you don't agree with. What do you do?
Yeah, Brenda Garrison's going to be with us right after the first break. Love, no matter what, when your kids make decisions you don't agree with. I have a son, Charlie. He's going off to the University of Kentucky, hopefully to study landscape architecture. I don't know. He may study lots of other things.
Yes.
But hopefully he'll focus on his studies a little bit. So this topic,
it's timely,
is
honey.
Right on for me. Although he's been making decisions for probably about 6 years that I don't necessarily agree with.
Did you write the foreword in this book?
I did not, but I've dreamt of the foreword probably for the last however many years. So
I mean, the difference today is that when I went away to college 20 years ago, if I made decisions my parents didn't agree with, there was a little lag time from when I made my decision to when I had time to spin it in the right way for them. But today with social media and texting and cell phones, I mean, parents are knowing pretty instantly when your kid who goes away to college makes a choice you don't agree with.
Yeah, that old adage, out of sight, out of mind.
I was watching on the Today Show this week. They had a whole segment on millennials, and you and I talk a lot about generational differences, and they were talking about that there are more millennials than ever before that are staying home until age 31, some like astronomical figure.
I saw that, like 63% or something.
And it's because they're the first products of those helicopter parents, the ones that kind of never fully cut the purse strings, or what do you call the apron strings. And so they're just staying there, helping. They're all making decisions together. They're all making financial, you know, taking financial responsibility for them. And so now, you know, kind of in reaction to that, we have this next generation of parents, and I'm just curious, like, are we just going to say, you know, go out there and do your own thing? Or
could be. And you know, it leads to a lot of stress, a lot of discontent, a lot of dissatisfaction. So after that, Bill Giovanetti is going to be on, and he's going to be talking about his new book, Secrets to a Happy Life: Finding Satisfaction in Any Situation. So these, I mean, again, you got to stick around. If you know somebody who needs to hear this kind of stuff, you need to get them to tune in or hit us up on iTunes.
Yes.
Real Life with Beth and Rob. They can download the show there on the podcast, this show, any show. So get them plugged in.
Very, very exciting. Okay, so what happens? Your post-18-year-old child decides he wants to get, like, a tattoo on his neck. He wants to study, you know, massage therapy, which I think is a totally fine thing to study. I'm just saying, if you have a different plan that you were paying for. Like, what happens? What are you going to do? What is it that you're going to do?
Well, let's stick with the tattoo example.
Okay.
You know, because he actually just got his first tattoo.
He did?
Yes, he's been wanting a tattoo forever.
Were you like it when you turned 18?
It was, because initially he wanted this gigantic work of art up and down his side.
Okay.
And we're like, dude, you're
which
not
is just getting bigger as he gets older, right? And that thing stretches out.
Dude, you're not doing that. And luckily, you know, he did. I said, you got to investigate. What does this cost? What's this going to do? And luckily, the reputable place he called, he said, anybody who will do a tattoo for you before 17 and a half or 18, I wouldn't go there.
Ooh.
So we're like, yes.
We like them.
Yeah,
remember to go there.
That's exactly right. So it's hard to argue, though. I mean, the purpose he wanted for a tattoo, he actually had a purpose other than putting just ink on his body.
Okay.
I Am Second. Do you know about I Am Second?
I
we
do.
Should have those. We
yeah,
should have some
definitely.
Of those folks on.
It's a great website.
Great website, iamsecond.com. It's the story of people who put God first, themselves second. And so Charlie wanted the script of I Am Second on his side. And I said, well, why do you need to do that? And he goes, it just would be more real if it was permanent. So how do you argue with your son? You're like, no, you can't put something that reminds you that you're second. No, you can't do it. So it was a lot less than the original tattoo idea. And so he turned 18, and we went down there. I drove him. Well, he drove. I rode along. had a little Chipotle for lunch, and he went at it. So,
and did it look like it hurt, man? Okay, we don't talk about tattoos, but man, that looks painful.
He walked out, and he goes, "That hurt like you wouldn't believe." And it was just a little tattoo on his side, but he said it was worth it. So yeah, I was not in agreement. We kind of made a deal.
Yeah.
You know, so Brenda Garrison, I hope, you know, she'll be happy with the way I handled that.
I, on the other hand, have a foster daughter who's making decisions that are nowhere near, I couldn't spin it in any way, shape, or form to make it be a positive ending. She, like some of you listeners, has an independent spirit and a will that's very strong.
Very strong.
And she's deciding right this moment not to follow Jesus. And so the actions that she has are challenging me. That's what drew me to the title of the book. You got to love them no matter what. Yeah. You have to decide that I care about you more than I care about your actions. I care about you more than I care about my reputation. I care about you more than I care about the consequences we're both going to have to face in the aftermath of these things. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And what's really cool about Brenda's book is that she's included insights from her own daughter, Katie. So it's not just some parent sort of, I'll say this or whatever.
Yeah.
She's got to be honest because her daughter Katie's helping her write it. So, you know, if mom tries to pull one over on us, she'll say, that's not exactly.
We did not sit around and sing Kumbaya after that. Don't you remember? We slammed the door.
That's right.
Tell the truth.
I screamed at you and you ignored me. I don't know if that's what it meant.
Okay, anyway. And I think about Bill's title, Secrets to a Happy Life. I mean, there's a little backlash right now in the Christian faith about, well, we're not supposed to have a happy life, right? Because we're supposed to be content, but things don't always go our way. And so to write a pretty overt book, Secrets to a Happy Life, I mean, what percentage of your day do you think you're happy?
Oh, my gosh. You're supposed to warn me about these questions before you do.
You could make it up.
What percentage of my day do I think I'm happy? Like, I don't know, maybe 10%?
I think you might need to read the book.
I might need it because, again, I don't go through my life going, this guy's so happy.
Okay, let's pretend like you're not happy because somebody hit your car or because you can't get a hold of someone you need to or because you don't feel good.
Yeah.
When something, like, gets you on the wrong track, how do you walk yourself to the happy track? Like, how do you go, like, it's okay, it's just a car?
Well, I usually internally in my head say, these are the 48 ways that I'd like to torture that person who hit my
Interesting.
Car.
That would be and the then, fast track to the unhappy
and
life.
And then after about 10 minutes of that or whatever.
10 minutes. Maybe, interesting. Okay.
It doesn't take me very
long. I'm going to leave this book in your
front
seat.
It doesn't take me very long. I mean, to get over something in 10 minutes, that's not very long at all. And I'm just like, okay, time
can't
to move on.
About it.
Don't. The one thing that I'm pretty good at, I think, is that I really don't dwell on stuff. I'm quick to forgive and move on.
Good for you.
You know. So just it's that initial.
You could have co-authored that with
him. It's that initial 10 minutes of wanting revenge. But after that, hey,
you
it's all forgiveness after that.
You slay the dragon, and there you go back into the happy track.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah. Now you're asking me the questions. You answer the question. Obviously, you thought about it ahead of time, so you'll have some better answer than.
Let me tell you, it says in Colossians chapter 3. No, I haven't thought about it that much, but I do think. Every moment that you spend unhappy, like literally unhappy, is a wasted moment. Like, who wants to waste your moments?
Jeez.
See? So just, that should be his
listeners,
subtitle.
Please do not hit the button. Don't go, that is ridiculous. I'm switching it over to Howard Stern or something
Love
like
Love no matter
that.
What. Secrets to a Happy Life. We're going to make your life better today.
This is
the real life with Beth and Rob is going to the self-help hour.
It will be very intriguing. I got to say that because I think these are some topics that people really want to know more about.
You might be unhappy today, and you might be frustrated with your child. And if you are, if that's qualified for you, stay tuned.
Yes, and if you're not, then you're like the 0.2% of the population who is either never unhappy or has a child that makes all the right decisions.
Then you feel free to go to the Easy Listening Station, roll your window down, and enjoy Route 1 on the Pacific Highway.
Go ahead and look everybody out and say, I'm one of those 0.2%. All you other people need to turn it to XM 131.
No, they don't need to go to a happy place. They have a happy place.
That's exactly right, and they're in it. Well, it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. It's another great Saturday morning.
Amen.
Absolutely. And so we hope you'll stick around to listen to our conversations with Brenda and with Bill. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall. That's Beth Kuchenberger.
Happy Saturday.
And we'll be back in about 60 seconds.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with Back-to-Back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through Back-to-Back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the Back-to-Back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shailaja. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
We hope you're having a fabulous Saturday morning wherever you happen to be. Beth, how is your Saturday morning? You happen to be right here in the studio with me.
We are starting the day off on the right foot.
We are. And I am totally jazzed to talk to Brenda Garrison. As we talked in the first segment, I have a son going off to college. I have a teenage daughter. And I love this little couple sentences from the back of her book, Love No Matter What. A lifeline for struggling moms and dads everywhere. Love No Matter What shows firsthand how to use disagreements to build bridges rather than walls. Mm. I built enough walls in my life trying to get my kids to figure it out.
Let's make some bridges.
Let's make some bridges, absolutely. Hey, Brenda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Brenda, I wanted to start by this this idea that you introduced in the book about, are you a my way or the highway parent? Can you explain a little bit that principle and the dangers of that?
I think my way or the highway parent has two perspectives. You can either do things my way or you can do things the wrong way. And it doesn't leave much room for any exchange of ideas. The parent is assuming that they're totally in line with God's word, that they're doing everything, you know, by the book, so to speak. And I think Christian parents especially fall prey to this because we tend to spiritualize everything. We tend to, you know, there is a right way and a wrong way to dress. There's right music and there's wrong music. There's right literature, there's wrong literature. And I think parents don't realize that there is, if they would just look through the Bible, there is so much room for personal expression. There aren't black and white, but there is a lot of room for all the other colors that God has created. And when we say it's my way or the highway, we are pretty much putting our kids at odds with us if they don't agree with us on everything. It's a very dangerous place, and eventually the kid is going to feel like, I cannot please this person. I'm just going to stop trying.
Now, I know that your daughter, Katie, participated in the book. What prompted you guys to sit down, and primarily you to sit down and actually pen and write out Love No Matter What?
Wow, we were going through stuff with Katie, and, you know, as usual, it caught me off guard. You know, I had no idea that my daughter would make the choices that she did. And then as I started to just share a little bit here and there and then spoke on it here and there, I just started to see the look on people's faces when you would say, you know, when your kids are making decisions you don't agree with. Almost always I would get a physical reaction. I'm not just saying, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. No, I'm talking rolling of the eyes, throwing arms in the air, pushing themselves back from the table we were sitting at. Physical reactions almost all the time. And I thought, we are living here and nobody wants to talk about it because we feel like we're going to be judged or our kid's going to be judged or whatever. But I was listening before the break, Rob, as you said, like 2% of the population. I would say maybe even 1% of the population. It's where we live. And I thought, I see us doing it not well. And I learned a lot because I've made almost every mistake that I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we need to learn how to do this better, not just for our relationships with our kids and for our kids, but without this relationship with them, we have nothing. We have no way to influence them, no way to hold the door open to God. We have nothing, and we've got to learn to do it better.
One of my favorite lines is when you say that we can't fix or save our children. that it's not our responsibility to do so. And I think that's a big misconception. Or even if we have it right in our heart, our head still kind of wars against that, as we want to, you know, we fix everything when they're little, but then there's this transition point where their free will kicks in and we cannot save or fix them. And how much does that line of thinking play into the dangers that we can fall into?
Oh, I think a lot, Beth. I think it might be part of the driving force. I think we might even, if we really thought about it, even go so far as to say it is our Christian parent responsibility to fix our kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would just go back, you know, chapter one, Genesis, maybe not chapter one, I think maybe it's in chapter three, actually, but go back to the very beginning, and God's kids made some really bad choices, and he mm-hmm. let them. And then, you know, fast forward to the future, to the present, and we're his kids. We've made bad choices. We will continue to make bad choices. So, you know, the perfect parent, God, could have fixed us, but he fixed us through making us perfect through his son, not by making us little puppets on strings that would do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. So I think we need to realize it's okay to let our kids struggle. It's okay to let them fail. And I don't know about you guys, but that's when I look up to God and I say, God, I am at my wit's end. I need you here. I don't usually say it, you know, when everything is going well and I think I have everything well under hand. My growing is taking place in my struggle. And I think that's so important for us to let our kids struggle. And they're going to be messy, and it's not going to look pretty. And guess what? Other people are not going to get it. But there have been so many people that have walked alongside me and have said, yeah, I know what you're going through. And they get it because they've been through it with their kids too.
Now, I know when I sit around the table at night with Christine, or we're lying in bed at night and one of our kids has done something, you know, we're just struggling with, or they want to do something. And we always struggle with, is this something that we should go to war over? Is this something that we should make an issue out of? I know that you talk about it in your book. How can parents know if they're making an issue really out of nothing?
Oh, definitely. Oh, boy, that's a great question. Because we feel like, we can feel like, I know I've been there, like everything is an issue. But if we start to feel like that and make everything an issue, that might be a good signal to yourself that you might be overdoing it a little bit. And think about what is going to matter in the long run. I mean, really, what are your non-negotiables? What is the things that we stand for more than anything? Is it hair color? You know, is it piercings? I hope you're going to say no to all those things, because those are things that can easily start to build walls between you and your child. We have our non-negotiables in our home are no smoking in our house, no bad language, no undermining parental authority with the other kids. And, of course, now all of our kids are young adults, so we made these non-negotiables way back when we had more parenting issues going on. But you think about, am I willing to let this come between me and my kid? Am I willing to let a streak of purple hair come between me and my kid?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, that feels reactive, right? Like, your child says, I want purple hair, and then you have some kind of reaction, hopefully in the spirit, most likely in the flesh. You maybe say to, you know, I'm going to talk to my spouse later about it. Is there anything we can do to get ahead of those conversations to be more proactive than reactive?
That's a good question. I've had that question before. And I think, in a way, it would be more of a mindset, because we have no way of knowing what they're going to pull out of the hat next. You know, mm-hmm. what's going to come out of their mouth next. It could be anything. And I think, go back to your non-negotiables. What is it? What am I going to, to go to war over, to say, okay, we're drawing the line here? A lot of times kids just want to get a reaction. We've done the purple hair thing in our house, not all the hair, but we've striped it. I've even striped it for them, not liking it, letting them know I didn't like it, but letting it happen. Taking a daughter to the hairdressers to get color stripped out of her hair before her cousin's wedding. Mm-hmm. That she thought she just had to have that color in her hair. So I think we just need to, and I start the book by telling the story, when Katie decided to move out, she had no money, she was using her college money to live on, she was like 18, 19 years old, it was just, we thought, just the dumbest thing in the world. She was moving 10 minutes away from home. And in that moment, God showed me, you have got to get a grip on this lady and get your poker face on so that when they, she, because that was, that wasn't the beginning, but we had many, many, many more conversations of things that she came to me with and, or to game to both of us with. And you just have to learn to sit there and go, uh-huh, I'm listening. Okay, let me think about that. Of responding in grace and, again, thinking about what is the big deal here. Do I want to lose relationship with my child or strain it or whatever over this issue?
So you would say that relationship is the highest value, that maintaining that verbal connection is the highest value.
I really do. I really do. Because even no matter what your child has done, you can still be there to love them. And that's what God's mm-hmm. done for us. No matter mm-hmm. what we've done, he is still there to love us. That doesn't mean we don't let them face their consequences. That mean mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that we let them bring all their junk into the house to uproar everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they can know by the way we treat them and speak to them and show them love that we love them no matter what. And that, to me, even when they are doing what they know they shouldn't be doing, they always know, Mom and Dad love me.
Hmm. We're talking with Brenda Garrison, who is the author of Love No Matter What, When Your Kids Make Decisions You Don't Agree With. Tommy Nelson, I think. Thomas Nelson is the publisher. In a couple minutes we have left, I know there's a ton of great stuff in here. What are two or three ways parents can start loving their children right now, no matter what? So our listeners, it's a Saturday morning, it's 10:30, whatever time it is, 7:30 on the West Coast, and they're like, okay, I gotta do a couple of things right now to get moving in the right direction. What would you tell those folks?
They can know their child. What is it that shows your kid love? And if you don't know that, just stop right where you are and start watching that kid and listening to him and figuring out what shows them love. Is it? And I will borrow from Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Please just, you know, order it, get it in your home and read on that. But what is it? Is it time spent? Is it taking him out to lunch, out to coffee? Is it a note? We have gone to Katie's apartment and just seen all the notes that I've sent her on her refrigerator. And I'm just talking just two or three sentences, and that just fills her up like none other. So show them that you want to know them, that you love them, and encourage them. Be interested in what they're interested in. If they're getting ready to go to a ball game today or whatever today finds them doing, I hope you're going to be there cheering them on. I hope you've cleared your schedule, and you will be there no matter what for them. What says you are more important to me than I am more important to me? You know, what are you willing? Be available for your kids. So many parents are gone, and they say, oh, my kids aren't home anyway. Why would they be home? There's nobody there to talk to them. There's nobody there to care. Be home. Be available for your kids so that when they want to talk, you're there. Or, like I said, be where they are so that they see my mom and my dad. They believe I'm important because they're making time for me.
Yeah, yeah. So, Brenda, tell us a little bit in just the next 30 seconds. Where can we find the book? Where can people grab a copy?
Really, any place they can buy a book. It's on Amazon, Christian bookstores, of course, especially your local Christian bookstore. I want to always encourage that. My website, BrendaGarrison.com. Just anywhere you can get a book, you can find it.
Well, Brenda, it's a great book, a lot of great insight, practical insight on how to really love your kids. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
All right.
Thanks, Brenda.
Blessings to you. Some just great stuff. I mean,
It is very practical because there's just no way that in all the years they're going to live with us that we're going to love everything that they do. And it doesn't even make sense. I wouldn't even want to create little clones of myself. If I appreciate all the creativity and out-of-the-box thinking they apply to other areas of their life, that means that sometimes that out-of-the-box is not going to necessarily, you know, align perfectly with my preferences.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that... doesn't mean that we treat them different.
Well, now that we've got people thinking in the right direction, they may be a little stressed,
secrets
a little worried.
Secrets to a happy
we're
life.
We're going to talk about secrets to a happy life with Bill Giovanetti right when we get back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we will see you in about 3.5 minutes.
you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach, but more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Awesome Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be.
And if you're not, it's no big deal, because this segment, you're going to learn about the secrets of a happy life.
That's right. If you're not having a great Saturday,
stay tuned.
Just listen, because It's going to be just as practical and insightful, I know, as Brenda Garrison was in the first segment. And so we're going to be talking to Bill Giovanetti. He has written a book called Secrets to a Happy Life, Finding Satisfaction in Any Situation.
I mean, that's the key, really, because dissatisfaction is what makes you feel not so happy. That's, so if you can overcome dissatisfaction and find satisfaction, then yes, we're in great shape.
That's right. We're going to let Bill tell us all about how to do that. So, hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bill, I was just wondering a little bit about, can you tell us the premise of what's the book about and how? Where did you come up with the idea to write in particular about this idea?
The book is about the life of Joseph. Here you have a guy who went through hell and back. If something bad could happen to a person, it happened to Joseph.
Pretty much.
Everything piled on him, and yet no matter where you look at him in his life, he's thriving. There's something inside of him that was so attuned to God, so attuned to his own self and what God had called him to be, that he managed to find a happy life, a joyful life, not a giddy, you know, surface level, bubbly, goofy life, but a contentment. Nothing could destroy it. And he just kind of kept, like the Energizer Bunny, just kept plugging along, and through adversity after adversity after adversity. So looking at that guy's life, I wanted to ask the question, what did he have, and what can we copy, what can we learn from him to have the same kind of joy that he had? And so one of the mottos of the book is, adversity is inevitable, but misery is optional. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to say that you can structure your heart and life to have a God-blessed life and a happy life before the Lord.
Now, I know that there are, in your book, you talk about false promises of happiness, and so that obviously leads people to believe there are some real promises of happiness. Tell us, first off, how do we tend to buy into those false promises of happiness?
Well, there's a section in the book that takes apart the word, there's a biblical word that's translated greed. And in the New Testament, it's the Greek word pleonexia. It's kind of a philosophical term that's been used in the New Testament by the authors there, that indicates this pursuit of stuff, this pursuit of wealth, kind of the health and wealth kind of road to happiness that a lot of us fantasize about. Oh, if only I had the next, you know, if I could win the Powerball, I'd be happy. And every study shows it's not true, you know. And mm-hmm. You know, I always like to ask the question, if God were to dump $1 million into your lap, would he ever hear from you again? Because we're after a God-blessed life, not a self-blessed life, but a God-blessed life. And Scripture is very clear on how to walk in that way.
There he is.
How to live, you know, in such a way that the blessing of God's on your life. Happiness is not the proper pursuit. A God-blessed life, a walk with God, is the proper pursuit. Mm-hmm. And happiness is the byproduct. But, you know, we look at the tabloids, you know, we look at the famous lifestyles of the rich and famous and the stars and all of that, and we get starry-eyed, and it's very normal. And it's culturally accepted that the more stuff I have, the more I fulfill my own fantasies and desires, the happier I'm going to be. And everybody who's lived half a life knows it's just not true. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The book is organized into the 11 secrets. And as an author, I know that sometimes you finish a chapter and you're like, yes, that is exactly what I want the audience to most understand. This is the message I really am hoping for people to get. Which one of these secrets really resonated the most with you, and would you be willing to share it with our listening audience?
That's a great question. I love that, Beth. Chapter 6 is on trust and faith in the success of God. And in that chapter, I talk about this beautiful doctrine. Our grandparents knew this word. You know, Christians of generations gone by knew this word, but a lot of followers of Christ today are not familiar with this thing called providence, the providence of God, and that mm-hmm. all things are led by God and managed by God, and he is shepherding everything to these beautiful ends, this beautiful divine objective. And so that's the chapter where I talk about resting in the providence of God, a God who cannot fail, even when it looks like he's failing. Your life is going south. You've been praying for it to go north. But I use the illustration of setting up dominoes, and that one thing triggers the next thing, triggers the next thing. So going back to Joseph, here's this guy who ends up on the throne of Egypt, a richly blessed person. He ends up with all his dreams come true. Then you throw it in the rearview mirror, look in the rearview mirror. How did you get there, Joseph? And when you just put event after event after event in sequence, well, my brothers beat me up and threw me into a pit. They were going to kill me, but they sold me to slave traders Midianite slave traders headed to Egypt. An Egyptian, you know, master bought me. His wife framed me for sexual assault. I was innocent. I spent however long in prison. Every one of those events was part of a chain reaction. If you take one of them out, he never meets the butler and the baker who tell of him to Pharaoh. If you take one event out, he doesn't end up on the throne of Egypt. And if he doesn't end up on the throne of Egypt, countless hundreds of thousands of people die of starvation. And who knows how many people never meet the true God, the invisible God of heaven, as their savior, you know? So The end result is this amazing consequence of a chain reaction of events that only the providence of God could have put together. And every step along the way, you would have prayed against those steps. You said, no, God, don't throw me in prison. No, God, I pray I don't go into a pit. And over again, you would wrestle with God and argue with God and fight with God to take these things out of your life that are difficult. And we all do. You know, nobody wants that pain. But those become literally the stepping stones to trigger the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. We've got our eye on the next, you know, 2 weeks or months of agony that we may be going through. And that's horrible, you know. Nobody wants that. We want God to alleviate the pain. But what if downstream from there, there's glories and blessing, you know, you never saw coming. You can't predict it. You would never be able to orchestrate it. And there's just this beautiful thing that God has downstream. And we have to rest in that. You know, we have to just believe that Romans 8:28 is true. You know, he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. It's going to happen. He's got to hold on for the ride. That's my favorite chapter.
You know, and that, man, I don't even know how to follow that up with a question. It's so powerful. The one underlying theme, I think, that whether we look at Joseph, who was satisfied with a lot or satisfied with a little, we think of Paul, satisfied with much or satisfied with nothing at all, there's this underlying theme perhaps of simplicity, or I don't need a lot. I could have a lot. It doesn't matter. I live a simple life. How can folks who are wanting to put this into practice really maintain simplicity in their life?
One of the first things is just the recognition that your stuff owns you. And the more stuff you have to wash it, clean it, store it, insure it, dust it, repair it, and all that. And you live to serve. If you accumulate enough stuff, you it will be your master. And you are working to pay for the storage units to hold the stuff you never use. And then when you need one of those things, you can't find it. So you go buy another one. You're possessions, to a point, they're a blessing from God. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us all to take vows of poverty, some, but not all. And he gives us, the Bible says, richly all good things to enjoy. So he wants us to enjoy our lives. We don't need to apologize for whatever blessings God has directed our way. But we can't hold to them tightly. They're not our source of joy. Whether they come or go, our joy is anchored in heaven. Our joy is anchored in the heart of God. Mm-hmm. Our joy comes from a walk with God. That's a mature attitude. You know, it takes. If there's one takeaway to apply what I'm trying to say in this book, it is keep on growing in the Lord. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Grow in prayer. Because these are functions of maturity. It takes a. You can't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be like Joseph. There's a growing process. It involves the study of God through Scripture. It involves prayer. It involves the community of the saints as much as you can. Well, you know, Joseph had that taken from him. But we need to grow. And so many in the church today, we're spiritual infants. And every time we lose something, what happens with an infant? Terrible twos, you know, temper tantrums.
We cry about it.
You know, you get ticked off at God. So,
hey, Bill, can you join us after the break?
You bet. Love to.
Absolutely. We're talking with Bill Giovanetti about his book, Secrets to a Happy Life, Finding Satisfaction in Any Situation. Some great practical stuff, insightful, thoughtful stuff about this topic. And so you're going to want to come back. Hey, we're going to be back. It's only going to be 6 seconds. So join us then. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we'll see you just after the break.
Weaving Your Story. The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption. The kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part Leader's Guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
With Beth and Rob, I am Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. We hope you're having a fabulous, great Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be this Saturday in late August. Welcome back. Hey, Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm loving this conversation. We're talking with Bill Giovanetti. He's written a book, Secrets to a Happy Life, Finding Satisfaction in Any Situation. Bethany House, I think, which is a division of Baker Publishing Group, has put that together for Bill. Bill, thanks so much for being back with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Right before the break, we were talking a little bit about simplifying your life. And our listeners know that I just moved after 15 years from a foreign country back here to the United States. And so this is like right hitting on my soft spot because all of a sudden I don't have just one choice of laundry detergent. I have like 197 choices of laundry detergent. And I thought my, you know, shoes were just fine. So I came here and realized all the choices I was missing out on. And that resonates with me, that idea that we could, that our stuff can eventually own us. So on this Saturday morning when people are embarking on their home projects and their yard work and their back-to-school shopping and all those things, you know, what are some really practical ways that, that we might move towards simplifying our life?
I think it all starts with being grateful and saying, you know, God, thank you. Thank you. I've got a hedge trimmer and a hedge and a house behind that hedge, you know, and gratitude just for what God has given and a realization of how richly blessed I am. You know, I try to go through life, and it's on my Facebook page and all that. God has blessed me better than I deserve. I think that's the core attitude, the heart attitude has to say, God's blessed me better than I deserve. And if stuff goes away, okay. So the first thing is gratitude. I think the second thing is a heart to share. A heart to give, where the ultimate secret, where this book kind of lands, and takes 11 chapters to get there, is chapter 11 on love. You want to be happy? Donate your life to a transcendent cause, something that's bigger than yourself, something that's bigger than your family, something that's just bigger than me, myself, and I, and get outside your own little circle. So you've got a lot of stuff. Great. God says, command those who are rich in this present age to basically hold those things lightly and be generous and ready to share. So do that, you know, be generous, ready to share, whether you're donating time to a really effective ministry or to the cause of orphans. We have a family in our church that just took in 4 sibling orphans from Ethiopia, you know, and they've basically doubled the size of their family in a day. I mean, it took a process, but they came home with 4 more kids. And that's just such a beautiful testimony to our whole church family. But this whole thing of, hey, do you really need all that? Do you need another pair of shoes? Do you need another car? Do you need a bigger square footage? Are you ready to downsize and maybe give that away? How about a garage sale? And just do something good with that money that'll help people. There's a lot of ways to simplify, but ultimately, when you're filled with the love of God, you can transmit that love out. You can transmit that love by donating your life, giving time, talent, treasures to something that transcends you. This is happiness. The happiest people, you know, the most miserable people are the people you see on the tabloid covers. They have everything in the world. They're filthy rich. They can get on a plane any day they want, go do anything. They are the faces of miserable rich people. And then you see people who are living in simplicity and what we would say is poverty, and they have the most beautiful smiles. And they found some secrets that I think can really help us. You know, we walk with God. Look at Paul in prison. Look at Joseph in jail and all that. There are just some simple biblical secrets. They're open secrets, you know. I wrote this book to really reach out, especially to a person who maybe is not so churchified, but it's just looking, has some open holes, some wounds in their heart. They want to say, yeah, I want that. I want that happiness. And I try to gently lead them through this awesome story and question, probe, you know, what are the things that you're doing that are barking up a wrong tree, and how can you turn that around?
Yeah. We're talking with Bill Giovanetti about his book, Secrets to a Happy Life. And, Bill, I really have appreciated the book. The idea could lend itself perhaps to sort of a bubblegum approach, yeah. And I really love the meaning and the depth and the thought that you've put into the book. Tell our listeners how they can find it.
Well, thanks for that. They can find the book at, it's on Amazon, wherever books are sold. It should be in your Christian bookstore. Some grocery stores have an inspirational book rack from Choice Books. It might be there, too. But you can go to secretstoahappylife.org. You could also go, it's anywhere online, you'll be able to find it. And I hope they enjoy it. There's a downloadable study guide for groups and individuals. It's on that secretstoahappylife.org. And the book itself, I really tried to take deep, deep truth and not be bubblegum. I mean, we're talking about surface happiness, but a happiness that money can't buy, happiness that comes from the hand of God.
Yeah.
And that's my prayer. And to anybody who's listening today who thinks you've crossed some point of no return or you've blown it or God's out to get you, I just want to say you can have a happy life by the grace of God. You can have a happy life and walk with Him.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thanks so much. Blessings to you and nothing but best with the book.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks. Lord,
all right. Thanks, Bill. Blessings. Uh-huh. I do really appreciate it. You know, it is a topic, secrets to a happy life. You might think, oh, you know, it's going to be another one of those frilly, you know, bubblegum type books, and it really isn't. It is a well thought out approach to a topic that a lot of people are interested in.
Yeah, I mean, he's a professor at A.W. Tozer's Theological Seminary, so once you read that little piece of his bio, then you realize there's probably not a whole lot of bubblegum going on.
Yes.
But the title itself might give that impression.
Exactly, and so I just really appreciated his approach to it, and it's a great book. So, hey.
I mean, here's what I liked about it. I like these three main ideas. I like the idea that we can trust in the providence or the sovereignty of God. You know, like I have a fourth grade son who's not sure which class he's going to be in school next year, and I just said to him, you know, I know you want one, but if it's the other, we're just going to trust it's up to God. And you could tell he relaxed, even his little 10-year-old brain, he relaxed. Yeah. Like, okay, well, it's going to be okay either way. And like, God's in control. We can't, you know,
right.
Instead of like, there's only one way that'll make me happy. I like the idea of being grateful for what we have, man alive. That alone could help that with that dissatisfaction. This like, if only my big screen TV was 60 inches and not whatever.
Well, I loved how you couch that too in your own experience. You know, I've been to Monterey, and you know, there are places where you can find just about anything you want, but the places where we tend to hang out and you would live in Monterey, you don't have 50 choices, and so there's just joy in I have what I need. And to come back to the States and basically just have it thrown up all over you, like here is literally
a bit of a challenge.
You know, here's a two giant grocery aisles really with paper towels.
I mean, how many different ways can we eat peanut butter, people? I mean, like, you have no idea. There's crunchy and creamy and mixed with all different kinds of nuts. And there's low sodium and low cal and natural. And, I mean, it's like I spent like 20 minutes just in the peanut butter
and
aisle.
And that's not even the organic section.
And that's just, yes, and that's just in my regular grocery store.
So the cure for that, I really liked what he had to say. The cure for that is just to be grateful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have what it is that you need.
And having that, just simplifying your tastes, really, and saying, I'm grateful that I have a car that takes me from A to B. I can certainly appreciate what your car looks like, but I don't need your car.
You absolutely.
Know? You know, two very, very practical shows.
Absolutely.
We're going to love our children just where they are. We're going to emphasize relationship over all else. And we're going to be grateful for the things we have.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you
Come
are
on.
Set up for a perfectly content Saturday.
Now, I know that there are plenty of people out there saying, I already knew this.
Really?
I
think
didn't
so?
Need this.
It was a refresher course.
But I know somebody who doesn't. And so for those people,
it's
and
always
maybe
your
for,
spouse,
or,
right?
And that's right. And maybe for a reminder, you can grab this show. You can grab any of our shows on our website at reallifewithbethandrob.com or on iTunes. Just hit up Real Life with Beth and Rob, and you can sign up for the podcast. They'll deliver them to your iTunes or your iPod or whatever you got out there. So either one of those places, this is a great practical show, mm-hmm. you know, and there's plenty of people who could enjoy reading the book or hear the synopsis here on the air. So go to those places, and you can listen to them there.
And of the 11 secrets that he had there and the secrets to a happy life, you know, some of them, they are things that maybe you already knew or that feel intuitive to you, but there's nothing like a little refresher, right? Nothing
Absolutely.
Like a little reminder, like, you think you need a little tune-up in the car? Guess what? This is your spiritual tune-up. This is your reminder from the professor at the A.W. Tozer Theological Seminary that, one, Jesus wants us to live a life of mm-hmm. contentment and satisfaction. And he's given us all the principles we need to be in that road. And when we find ourselves not on the happy road, it's mm-hmm. probably a whole lot more to do with us and a lot less to do with him. His whole example of Joseph was my favorite part of what he was saying. Like, at any given time, Joseph would have begged Jesus to get him out of the pit or get him out of jail or get him out of whatever. And it might feel like Jesus wasn't paying attention, but in hindsight, like we get to do when we read a story, it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I used to, when I'm back in my therapist days, I used to run some weekly groups. They were called Catch Your Breath groups, right? And so I feel like perhaps there are people who are listening to the show, they're driving, and it's almost like they can exhale. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Relationship is most important with my kids.
The purple hair.
I need to take a deep breath and realize that if their room's a mess, maybe that's not the worst thing ever. And they can take a deep breath. Oh, yeah. That's right. I just be grateful and understand that God is. I loved how I will have the quote wrong, but he is orchestrating a
yes.
divine end, a beautiful end to this story, and we can rest in that.
Yeah.
So catch your breath, everybody. Deep breath.
Deep
I know.
Breath.
I know that I am.
Happy
so.
Saturday. Just appreciate the hedge and the house behind the hedge.
That's exactly right.
Your kid doesn't want to go out there and do his like Saturday morning chores. It's okay. Love him where he's at, no matter what.
Absolutely. Hey, it's been another great Saturday. We got another great one next week. Another couple of books to talk about next week, and
And these authors are more than just producing material. They are wrestling with these concepts and testing them out in their family and friends, and then sharing with all the rest of us how they're working out their faith with fear and trembling. That's what I like the most. I mean, certainly we would like to go out and purchase their materials and support these guys, but I just like the idea of hearing how God is working in Bill's life, working in Brenda's life, and how they decided to not just keep that lesson to themselves, but to share it with all the rest of us.
Absolutely. Hey, so next week we're going to be talking with author Michelle Perry. Just a compelling story. She she works with orphans in Sudan. She's got a physical disability, which she'll get into, but she doesn't care. I mean, she's like, hey,
Iris Ministries.
I am going out and doing my thing. And so she's written a book, Love Has a Face, and we'll talk to Michelle about that. And Bare Naked Truth,
a little departure from the first segment.
A little intriguing title from Becca Hamrick Martin, who will be with us next week as well. As always, it'll be great. How could
it
not
be? I
can't wait. Hey, thanks for joining us today on this great Saturday. Beth, great to see you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. It was great to be here with you.
Absolutely. Hey, this is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we will see you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.